We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The dayspring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dumeji Elubadebo. Be revived.
In our daily lives, in communion with the Lord, ask the Lord for mercy. Ask the Lord for mercy. In your personal shortcomings, one way or the other, we are falling short of God's expectation in our communion with Him. Can we receive a supply of the Spirit as we ask God for mercy and pray that the Lord will help us, help our hearts to be strong in waiting upon Him all through the day? Can we receive grace not to be given to distraction that comes through our daily activities, but we'll be able to sufficiently give the Lord all the attention? The scriptures admonishes us to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our souls, with all our strength. The Lord will help us to be able to gaze upon the Lord every day, making it an habit. Lord, we receive mercy this morning. Let it be supply of the Spirit, consistent flow of grace, energizing of the heart, reconstruction of our understanding concerning waiting and seeking You all day long. Lord, we pray for her. We pray for ourselves. We ask for grace this year. Lord, lift us up from where we are. Move us into the next level in our daily fellowship with the Lord. Can you pray? Pray for yourself. Let your heart engage in these words. Ask the Lord to energize your heart. Ask the Lord to strengthen you, that you will come into a new level of grace in your walk with the Lord this year. You will come into a new space, a new fellowship, a new environment of the Spirit. A new environment of the Spirit. Kemora nebaka jecho menia labaraka domaya. Orega de brenia frepepepe koko jojematia labrostafata. Can you receive grace to make new decisions, changes, new changes? Sabarogo de brenia tebaka. Let us begin to appreciate the Lord this morning. Let's thank Him. Father, we give You thanks. We give You praise. We are grateful for the supply of the Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Can we appreciate Pastor CG? Pastor, thank you so much. You can do better than that. Pastor CG has blessed us tremendously this morning. The Lord has used him to also instruct us. And like I said, this is like it's supposed to bring leverage to us in this season. For many of you, it is like culturing a new approach to your walk with the Lord. For some, it's like a refresher, or to strengthen what you have had before. For all of us, at one point or the other, your communion with the Lord cannot be sufficient. You need regular assistance from the Lord to guide you in your approach to communion with Him. And that's the whole reason why we are taking this series. And so, please, I want us to make decisions from this teaching, because grace has been supplied. Can we say amen? Grace has been supplied. Just trust the Lord that, you know, as you're making those decisions, you are receiving grace to change your approach. We live in a very outward, destructive world where everything is naturally designed to, you know, make you not focus on the Lord. It's designed that way, all right? Everything that you go through every day. Like I wrote here, I said, we have 5 natural senses, and they are like gates that open to our immediate environment, all right? Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, you know, your hands. That's your touch. I mean, it's just 5 natural senses. And all those things receive from the immediate world, and they end up shaping our perception to God. You know, what you call your reality is shaped majorly by what you receive. All right? But God wants us to switch from our 5 natural senses to senses of the Spirit. All right? Because your spiritual senses now connects you to the world of God, where you can receive constant revelation, constant understanding from the Lord and from the environment of the Spirit that will shape your perception, not just to the Lord, but to life here on earth. So there's a way you're supposed to relate with issues on the earth. You're supposed to allow your perception, all the gates of your soul, once you open to the environment of God. Okay, your sight, you know, your ability to hear, you should see God, you should hear God, you should smell God, you should touch God, you should talk God. All those things, when they are subjected to real spiritual, the real spiritual climate that we are supposed to fellowship with as believers, then it shapes your perception. So no matter what we go through, whatever we are seeing, whatever we are hearing, whatever we are touching, now describes or informs our reaction. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Like Pastor said, it's very important. The Lord Jesus said in John 17, he says, do not take them away from the world, but keep them in the world. So you cannot, there's hardly anywhere you can run to. The whole environment is polluted. I mean, you can maybe escape, maybe in your house, you can create an atmosphere, you know, of the Spirit in your home. But when you get to work, all right, you can't stop certain things at work, except it's your business. You cannot stop. There's certain climate, certain attitudes that are in the workplace. Some workplaces are totally given to gossip and slander. You need to be heavily spiritual not to get involved. All right? And the best you can do is to shut the gates of your heart, not to fellowship with that. All right? So you need to be very conscious that on a daily basis, our gates are open up to an environment that either pollutes us, or to the environment of God that constantly strengthens us. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Now, all we are teaching is to strengthen the doctrine that we are hearing. Because if you, no matter doctrine that you are hearing, sir, if you don't have all this as pitch, like we are pitching the hack, we'll find out that we are not going to benefit so much. All right? So, I think it's very important that we'll keep visiting this thing. So, thank you, Pastor. Let me just look at one or two things just to add and supply. I'll be doing that every week as the pastors come and minister to us. The first thing I want to say, okay, I want us to see the fact that God wants us to resolve the issue of one thing. Can we all say one thing?
One thing.
You know, God bless Hiob, and we're still praying for Hiob. I just remember then when you mentioned Mr. Edwards that we should not stop praying for Hiob, and you know, because they brought a lot of songs around this area. They normally have one conference, they call one thing. Now, we must resolve the issue of one thing. And, you know, the way the Lord inspired my heart, he says that we need three things to have a strong communion with the Lord, you know, from the concept of one thing. Number one, we must seek one thing. We must seek one thing. And that one thing, seeking one thing means that we must be passionate for one thing.
Amen.
We must be passionate for one thing. All right? That's in Psalm 27. All right, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and I seek after. So I like the word. So really, what you seek is what you really desire. Your seeking is after your desire. So I think that to change your seeking, you must change your desire. So David said, one thing have I desired, and that. So you only seek what you desire. All right? So, and that is what I call passion. So every day, what is your passion? It's not like you're not going to do other things. You will do other things. Like I said, I don't subscribe to the Christianity that locks itself in one place, like monks. And then you are disconnected from life out issues around you. That's not Christianity. That's not New Testament Christianity. All right? The New Testament church is not a monastery. It's an embassy. So the whole mentality is different. So a monastery is where people just shut themselves and they disconnect themselves from life. We can't be functional that way. All right? Jesus Christ himself went, you know, a great while is there. He went to strengthen himself with the Lord and then he faced the day. So you always face matters of the day.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
So, but the issue is that in that day, what is your passion? Your passion should be the Lord all through the day. Your passion should be the Lord. So, like I said, the first thing is passion for the Lord, seeking one thing. Number two, we must desire what is needful. One thing is always needful. Don't forget this. Whatever you happen or handle on a daily basis, there is one thing that is needful. When you use that as a judgment, it helps you to keep yourself away from things that cause strife, offense. So anything that you know that will cause offense, you ask yourself, is this thing needful? Because eternal life is at stake. When you know that, you can avoid an argument. When you know that, you can avoid doing something that will offend ethics of the spirit and punch your life. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So one thing is needful. We see that in Luke chapter 10. Now, what Martha was doing was very important. Doing hospitality for Jesus is important. You know, doing hospitality for Jesus. And this is a very, very, very subtle matter, particularly in ministry. At times you can be busy for the Lord. And the Lord himself is asking you that, I am the Lord now. Where are you? So Martha was look at that. This is a very touching area. And it ministers to all of us at several levels, particularly as a minister of the gospel. At times, you may just need to shut down to have time with the Lord. I have to see this. I have to do that. I have to do that. I have this itinerary and all that. And then something is just wrong with you on the inside. Just need to shut down. So will you either offend the Lord or offend the people that invited you? They are waiting for a great man of God. And the great man of God needs time with the great God. That's the problem with outward ministry. When you are too outward, you will miss the Lord. I won't lie to you. God will help us. The same thing for your work, everything. You see, so Martha was busy trying to do hospitality for Jesus, which is not bad. All right? So the Bible says she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, that does not care that my sister has led me to serve alone. Be that therefore that she helped me. Jesus saw the soul of Martha. Say, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Everybody say many things. So you need to understand, every day there will be many things that is drawing your attention. You know, at times that's why I act the way I act. You know, my wife understands what I say. At times I just leave some things alone. It looks as if I don't care. It's not like I don't care. I know that I cannot do anything about that matter. But I can do something about my state. For me, in a day, my connection is the most important thing with the Lord. So when I see something that wants to disturb my peace, I just avoid it. I avoid it, man. I just for the thing. I will not die now. And I found out that some things just even settle themselves. Eventually. So at times, some things that Satan wants you to give attention to will end up settling themselves. So the means that the thing was engineered to give you distraction. So you must learn to bone things at times. Just take your eyes away. And I'm not saying that you should do it without a sense of knowing that the Lord will take care of it. All right? So Jesus said one thing is needful. So every day, mind this, that one thing is needful. All right? One thing is always needful. And what is that means that you must be focused every day. Focus. You know, I told you the first principle is passion. Second principle from this scripture, focus. When there's so many things pulling you, there's a tendency that you don't have focus. All right? So the thing that matters, so at the end of the day, you are drained and tired. It happens to all of us, even me at times. You know? A lot of times, Pastor Friday will say, this person wants to see me. I say, I am not Jesus Christ. Let them see. You people see them. If you cannot solve the problem, then move it to me. I'm not Jesus Christ. Because at times, by the time you counsel everybody, you are drained. You are just drained. I say, I'm not Jesus Christ. Let them talk to you. We have to break a mentality that until they see me, they are okay. Some people, that's how they see it. I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm not your Messiah. Nobody say amen to that. Yeah. It's the truth. You have men in this house that can counsel you. Sometimes I may even tell you the same thing they will tell you. But you don't believe that they can ever give you a counsel from the Lord. So you should avoid things that also drain you. That just drain you. Anything that you touch that drains your energy. Be careful of that thing. Because they are fighting your focus. Right? Because you need to have focus every day. Like you need to have passion every day. You must have focus every day. The third thing is commitment. And that one is in Philippians 3. Paul says, one thing I do. There must be something you are doing. At the end of the day, There should be something you are doing every day that is bringing you closer to the Lord. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting. So Paul forget things that are behind. And then he's now doing what? Reaching forth to things that are before. So there must be something that you are doing, all right, which exemplifies the concept of one thing. You do one thing, all right, commitment to the Lord every day. What is commitment to the Lord? Commitment to his commandments. What has the Lord said? Or what is the Lord saying? So you must be able to, for instance, summarize what the Lord is telling you, for instance, for February, based on the teachings that you are receiving in this month. What are the commandments God has given you? You can even write them down. Because now we are looking at basics. We should not play down teaching it to this level so that we can help everybody. What we are trying to do is to bring the ladder down so that everybody can begin to climb up. I can't hear an amen.
Amen.
So what are the things the Lord has told you from the teachings you received throughout this year so far? What are the things he has told you? Then you must be doing those things. That is what you call commitment, to do those things on a daily basis. All right? If the Lord has told you to pray more, then create more time to pray more. If the Lord has told you that you need to, enlarge your heart, you enlarge your heart more. You know, whatever the Lord has told you, pay attention to it. In relationship with him, in relationship with brethren, in relationship with your boss at work, in relationship with issues of life. That is how you grow. You know, one of the reasons why the Lord regularly rebuked the nation of Israel is that all of the time they backslid, they didn't stop their sacrifices. You don't understand what I'm saying? They didn't stop their appointments. They still went for Feast of Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Pentecost. They went for all the feasts, pastors. While they were backslidden, they were still doing everything that they used to do. People still go to church, go for meetings, and they have disconnected from God. And so, now, I'm not saying meetings are wrong. Neither is devotional routines wrong in themselves. What is wrong at times is that at times, our systems, all right, our routines normally just kickstart at a time, you know. Now, you want to develop discipline with the Lord. It's good that you make up your mind. You can even set a timetable. Every morning, you wake up to pray. All right? I told my wife, I said, the best time to pray, I won't lie to you, from experience, is between the early hours of the morning. Believe me. Between 3 and 6. Or between 4 and 7. The best time is the best time of the day. You cannot beat that. All right? We saw that pattern in our Lord Jesus Christ. When I calculated it, you know, some people say it was from about 3 to 6. Within that period was when Jesus did his own prayer. So it's relevant. This will always be relevant. So I remember that, you know, fathers of the faith also gave us. When I got born again, we were taught to pray first thing in the morning. I teach my children to do that also. At times they don't, you know, it's really poorly at times. They wake up in the morning, they have to pray, do their devotion and all that. Those things are good. We are not downplaying on it. But however, the problem with man is that we quickly get accustomed with routine and lose the purpose of the routine. So you can be doing devotion regularly, and then the reason for devotion, which is communion, is out of the place. All right? Same thing with church. You can come for church meetings. And one church meeting is supposed to attend. It's not. Same thing for maybe a convention. All right? People go for massive, invest money to go for a meeting. And then they get there and they lose the focus. It's just something with man. All right? So we must regularly. Now, devotional routines are not bad. But this is what I've learned with the Lord. When you follow the Lord to a point, the Lord at times breaks those patterns just to get your attention. At times the Lord does that with me. All right? I just yield to him more. Because over time, you develop an organic relationship with the Lord that is now beyond some of the routines you have set. All right? So at times, I can wait and I want to do something. Like, for instance, I have I call it a prayer timetable for each day. I don't just wake up and pray for anything. The reason for I learned that is because if you are like that, you will not maybe cover a lot of burdens in a week. So I have something I regularly do on Mondays, what I do on Tuesday in terms of praying. But it is always subjected to the Lord. So like in a day, maybe you have household chores that you do. All right? But the thing is that whatever you have even said for the day is still subject to the Lord. It's just like a minister of the gospel that has prepared to teach a message. He prepared. But when he now came to teach, he now found out that the Lord wanted him to do something else. It is as easy as that. When it comes to your devotional life, let it be that way. But have a devotional plan. What did I say? It's very good. And that's the essence of this teaching, okay? You pray, you study the word, right? For younger Christians, right? In the morning, after praying, I think we'll do that in this series because I think we'll have to get to that point of even giving you an idea of what you should focus on a daily basis. All right? I've said this before, that the epistles prayer, are foundation to your praying. If you don't know what to pray, read those epistles prayer. Let them shape your perception of what to pray for on a daily basis. All right? That should guide you. Ephesians prayer, Colossians prayer, Philippians prayer, Thessalonians prayer. They are all spread into scripture. Even the Beatitudes. There are prayer points there. Can we say amen? Amen. So generally fellowshipping with them, they frame your mind. Because one of the reasons why people pray amiss is that they are praying their desire. And this scripture says in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 or so, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him. When we pray what? When we pray what? According to what? His will. So, me, I'm thinking that the first thing you must discover is what? His will. So that prayer done according to his will, God, yes. And how to pray according to his will is to wait on his will through the revelation of this word. Because through his word, you can access his will. And then when you pray his will, he will hear. So prayer, we have a lot of prayer effort today in church. I am concerned. Even the way we pray. I think that at times, well, I may be wrong, but we don't pray from inside. Prayer should be an inward journey. Write that down. I like that word, inward journey. I read a book in school then, inward journey. Prayer should be an inward journey. Prayer should not be so much of an external thing. All right? It should be more of an internal journey into God. Communion also is an inward journey. That's what communion is. You journey every day. You are journeying every day. And when you know this, you fight spirits that want to stop communion. Now, maybe you can be in church and your mind is not here. It's also warfare. It's part of communion. Does it not happen at times you are here? The word is so powerful. And your mind is in somewhere else. You are struggling to even gather your mind to sit down here. So that is it. All right? That's the warfare you face in trying to focus. So I've told you three things, okay? Passion, focus, commitment. Okay? These three things are important to strengthen your daily communion life. All right? Just have these things in your mind. Every day I must be passionate for the Lord, which is one thing. Every day I must be focused on the Lord. Every day I must be committed to walking the commandments of the Lord. And make this like a focus every day. All right? Finally, pastors did a lot of labor around the Psalms, Book of Psalms and David. And I felt that, you know, I just wanted to draw attention that there's just something about David that I think we may need to rediscover afresh. Particularly in his attitude to worship. What did I say? We need to rediscover that. Even me, I'm even interested. I think I want to also research that a little bit. There was something about David, because I just began to see the Psalms, some of the scriptures that came through David. Like we have said, Pastor reminded us again, that they're actually songs. They are songs. All the Psalms of David were songs. But the most striking thing about it is David's attitude to worship is mind-blowing. It's breathtaking. David's attitude to worship. I think we need to recover that. Generally, even with worship, in church. I still feel that we are still lacking. You know, my wife is always passionate. Mommy is passionate about that area. The way we worship. I'm even talking about worship in terms of, I'm not talking about worship as obeying the Lord. I'm talking about worship as singing before the Lord. Worship as sacrifice, oblation to the Lord. We find it difficult to access. Now, not just even corporately, personally. You know, that personal worship is labor. All right? That area of personal worship, just skill. I think we need to just explore that area. So I just began to see, Lord, okay, that don't we have to create time to teach people how to worship? I just felt that again. I said, God, there's so many things to do. That's what I was just saying. Teach people to worship. Because there's even a way to enter into that place of praying. You must have a flow. Now, I told you that I said, now for me, and now let me use myself as an example. I play songs. I play a lot of songs that just shape my atmosphere. It's not just any song. You know, I look for kind of songs. You know, you cannot be playing metallic song too much when I mean metallics. When you want to access worship, there's just something about it that does not carry upon the wings of the Spirit. You must just know the kind of song to sing. The kind of song that just triggers the heart to be drawn towards the Lord. And songs that draw. And that's why I want us to, we must write many of those songs. It makes it easy for people to worship the Lord. We have songs for several things. I've taught the worship thing. But you know, songs that draw you to worship God. Songs that draw your heart. Songs of His presence. Songs of His presence. We need many of them just to be able to carry people. At times when worship has gone ahead of prayer, worship aids praying. I won't lie to you. This one I know very well. Worship aids praying. You just glide upon the wings of worship into praying. Now, if you always pray, there's just one traditional cultural prayer. You know those Babadis, Babadad, you are Jehovah Shina, you know what I said? Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah that, Jehovah this, Jehovah that. All right? You are not supposed to enter prayer with Jehovah this and that. You see all those Jehovah that you see? It was people's revelation of God. Jehovah Jireh was Abraham's revelation of God. He had nothing to do with money. It was about, the guy won't kill his son, sir. Baba won't kill his son. He was obeying the Lord. The Lord said, don't kill it. That place, they call it Jehovah Jireh. You are not saying Jehovah Jireh, my provider. What offering did you give? Which commandment of killing did they tell you? So all those things, we have a lot of traditional concept of accessing the Lord in prayer. So that's why it's good to have revelation of the Lord. Because when you're approaching the Lord, you should talk to the Lord. I even feel that. Now, I've heard a lot of people say this. I believe in praying with tongues. Honestly, I do. But I also understand that a lot of people pray with tongues because they lack ability to talk to God. I mean, I'm thinking that you should know how to talk to your Father. You know? So some people just enter prayer and say, so bakashibata, imbobobobobonianta, ivevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevevev God is a person. I know that he is a spirit. However, I also know that you must be able to father. All right? You must be able to talk to him. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. So worship is that. It is your ability to be able to create an ambience around your soul that makes you be able to gaze on the Lord and fellowship with him. So I think we have to look, get to that point that we can just give an idea of songs that you need to get more accustomed with in times of praying. All right? So that it can aid you to be able to enter into prayer. At times you are tired. You are drained. All right? And you want to pray. And just hearing worship can just bring some kind of strength. Then you can begin to pray and talk to the Lord. All right? The Lord will grant us grace in this. Okay, yes. Thank you for bringing me. Paul said, I pray. Look, he said, what is it then? I pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. There is a balance. All right? Do you all agree with me? Some people just want to pray in the spirit. But Paul said, pray in understanding. He says, I will sing with the spirit And I will what? Sing with what? Understanding also. So these are both crucial to strengthen our communion with the Lord. All right? The Lord will help us in this season. All right? So let me end up by saying again, communion is an inward journey. Never forget this. The journey is an inward journey. Now, I'm saying inward. By inward, I also mean upward. But you go upward by going inward. You didn't get it. You ascend by going inward. It is as you go inward that you begin to find grace to ascend. So that ascension is actually an inward ascension. It's the soul being built up as an altar of sacrifice. You know, in Old Testament, what they call altar, it's not what you'd call altar in church. It's a building. Altars were risen. They were built. You build an altar. An altar can be as tall as 10 feet. Depending, you have different sizes of altars. Some altars can be as tall as a four-story building. Yes, an altar. Some altars can be that tall. That when you want to go and put something on the altar, part of the altar, there is a ladder. You climb you climb ladder to go and offer on an altar. So an altar is a building. Right? So when they say wash communion, communion should be what? An altar that you are building. So when you have developed a communal life with the Lord over the years, what you now have is that you have an altar. So like Pastor CG said, is right. Communion is something you do daily over a period of time. A time will come when you have that altar, you just climb it. So there's a difference between when you are building it and when you have it. So build it so that a time will come where you have it and you easily glide on your altar. And you access. So that's why it's different for everybody. Why some people take them hours to connect? They'll do sheble, 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 sheble for hours. But at times, some people, they'll just say, Father, I thank you. And they enter. Because of years of building, obedience, sacrifice, yielding to the Lord, obeying the Lord, they have developed an altar that carries them into God's presence. So, and that's the key. All of us must have this way of communion. Can we begin to thank the Lord? Let's just thank the Lord this morning. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for strengthening our understanding. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.